Over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the term being born again. And of course, I've heard it 100 times. I've even asked the question years ago about to people when I'd minister, have you been born again? And lo and behold, not noticing, that term born again is directly to the nation Israel and not to us. There's 2 times the term born again is used. Peter uses it, and Jesus Christ used it when he was on the earth. And the issue is Israel will be born again in the times of refreshing. And that is not to us. We are a new creature. We are a new creature. We are the body of Christ. And those two terms are two totally different things. But I'm not going to go over all that we did last 2 weeks. We're going to carry on and we'll try to finish today. Today, instead of being born again, okay, something that was to Israel, in Exodus chapter 4:22, the Word of God says that Israel was God's firstborn son, and they will be born again. Nicodemus was told that he would be born again, and it was dealing with Israel, and Israel being under the kingdom gospel. But today, for salvation in the age of grace, in salvation under the gospel of God, from the revelation of the mystery that was given to Paul, and he is the pattern today, okay, for salvation, that we trust that Christ died for our sins, that he was dead, buried, and resurrected, according to the Scriptures, which is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4. According to the Scriptures, unless we believe in vain, that's how we're saved, and trusting in that. But today, people make this word so confusing by mixing it all up and giving those things to Israel to us and giving those things that are to us to us. It's not all our mail. A lot of this word, a lot of the Bible, in fact, most of the Bible was given to Israel. This Bible's not hard to understand when you rightly divide knowing what is to you. Today, it's about us. Instead of being born again, it's about us being placed judicially into the Lord Jesus Christ. Now understand what I'm saying. It's not about us being born again and being something that we have been before but going through it again. But it's about we were placed when we trusted in what Christ did for our salvation. We were placed into the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Word of God says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, a lot of people will take this verse and they'll say, old things are passed away. They'll say, see, I was walking down this road and I was living this dark, dark life and I had all this sin and all of a sudden I realized I was a sinner. So I repented. I turned from my ways and I came to the cross. You hear these testimonies on and on again. And they say, I was born again. And it's just not so. It's not the issue. These old things that are passed away are the things that were the issue under the program being under the law. The old things that were passed away were the things that you had to do as a Jew or as a proselyte in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant. You had to follow the law. You had to follow the commandments. You had to make sacrifices. Those old things that were passed away, what was Paul under? He was under the law. Those things are passed away. Salvation wasn't by us doing works of righteousness. Those old things are passed away. It's not about how bad you were. It's about those things that Christ said that God gave statutes that you had to do in order to stay in the faith. Those were the old things. The Mosaic Law. The things that John the Baptist said when Christ walked the earth. That to repent and to be baptized. All those laws, all those things you had to do. Those were the old things. A lot of people read this and they'll think about how bad of a life they lived and they'll say, well, those are the old things that have passed away because I'm new. The Apostle Paul wasn't talking about how you lived. He was talking about the things that he was under. Now look at this verse again and look how clear it is under a different gospel, under a different good news that the Apostle Paul had, that it was everything that Christ did. Look what it says. Therefore, if any, that's any, okay? If any man be in Christ, he is what? Not born again, he's a new creature. Those old things, that Mosaic Law, those things that Christ fulfilled, those old things are passed away now. You're a new creature by what Christ did. Okay? You are in Christ. Okay? Old things are passed away. Behold, he says, take notice. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that verse has a lot of meat in it. Okay? A new creature. That's not born again. Born again isn't new. It's the old being redone. Right? This is similar. Look how similar it is when you speak of born again. Go to Acts chapter 1 and look at verse 6. Acts chapter 1 verse 6. In Acts 1 6, the Word of God says, when they therefore were come together. Now that they therefore are those disciples, those that were following Christ after the crucifixion, they had come together, okay? They asked him, saying, because the Lord appeared again. Now look what they asked him. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore, what's the word? Again. Will thou at this time restore again what? The kingdom to Israel. Israel was always looking for this kingdom from heaven to come to earth. Okay, they were even to pray that way. Okay, that again is because at one time that kingdom was set up. Okay, the Davidic kingdom was set up. But Christ was going to restore it how? Again. So when you see that to Israel that isn't to us, it's simple to see the kingdom's going to be restored how? Again. Those in the times of refreshing that died in their faith, Israel that was under the law, that flock, you know what they're going to do? They're going to be born how? Again. That terminology just fits perfect because the word is perfect. You'll never see the Apostle Paul talk about the kingdom being restored. You won't see where the Apostle Paul talks about being born again. Instead, Christ died on the cross. He forgave you of all your sins. He died, was buried, was resurrected, and it's a new creature. You become the body of Christ. It's spiritual. It's not a physical thing. Okay? So there's a difference. You've got to divide those things. So it's not a new kingdom. It was the kingdom that started with David. Again, it was about Israel in Acts 1, chapter 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. Look at this born again language. Okay? Go to John 3. Everybody go to John 3. John chapter 3, and look at verse 3. In John 3, 3, the Word of God says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see, what's the issue? The kingdom of God. They are going to be born again. Okay? Which, of course, in John 3:3, a lot of people think, well, that's the Gospels. We're following the red letters. So that's not the issue at all. Can I tell you, John 3:3 is what? It's Old Testament. Just because man translated your word and you have it today and you've turned to the book of John and you've passed that page that says New Testament doesn't make it New Testament. That's what man has put in. The book of John, chapter 3, verse 3, is Old Testament. That old covenant was given to who? To Israel. Okay? It's Old Testament. Now, a lot of people look at me like I'm crazy. Well, how do we know that John 3:3 is Old Testament? When we open our Word, we're always told to turn to the New Testament, the book of John. Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, and let's look at verse 15. These scriptures are important for you to mark, because this is where people argue, because they're never taught this. Hebrews chapter 9. Now let's look at verse 15. Chapter 9:15 says, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of what? Death." Okay? "For the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Look at verse 16. "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Had Christ died on the cross yet in John 3:3? Absolutely not. He was walking the earth. It's Old Testament scripture. Jesus Christ would have had to have died first before this could be New Testament. But because we always look at the titles in our Bible, we always look at what's written by man, we blow it. A lot of times we stop at certain verses, which I do it all the time, but if you're not careful, you'll take it out of context. Because let me tell you, those weren't verses, those were letters. Okay? There were letters that Paul wrote. So you have to know where to stop, where to read, where to divide. Know what the Bible's talking to you, whether it's talking to Israel. These things are important. Okay? So we see, of course, that John 3:3, when Jesus said this, it's Old Testament. Without the death of a testator, you can't have a New Testament. I didn't say it. The book of Hebrews says it. Right? It's not me. It was according to the Scriptures. John chapter 3 is 14 chapters away from the other side of Calvary. Look at John chapter 3, verse 14. John 3:14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," now this is Jesus talking, "even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now here's Jesus sharing what has to happen. And these people don't have a clue. They're just waiting for the kingdom to be at hand. Jesus gives an example to come that no one had a clue. Many send a new convert or a baby Christian. You know where they send them? Guess what they tell you to always read first? The book of John. I grew up doing that. I know. Preachers are taught, man, when you got a new convert, when you got somebody that trusts that Christ died for them, take them to the book of John. Okay? I believe it should be one of the last books a new convert should read. It's Old Testament. Think about it. I want you to think about this. A brand new baby Christian. Somebody says, go home and read the book of John. Well, let's look at John 5:28. Now this new convert has trusted in what Christ done, knowing that Christ has forgiven him for his sins. Okay? And he goes to the home to the book of John. And he looks at John 5:28. He gets to John 5:28 and he sees, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." And then verse 29. "And shall come forth they that have done what? Good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now this new convert's reading this and they're going to see, well, I'm going to come up and I'm going to see this judgment. They will see here works and not salvation by grace through faith at all. Is there anything that is grace and grace alone there? It talks about good works and the deeds that they've done that are bad. You tell a new convert that it's everything that Christ has done. He's forgiven you. Trust in what He's done. Ephesians tells us by grace and grace alone. Titus says without works of righteousness. And we send new converts home to read this, and all of a sudden they think they've got this list to help out their salvation. This scripture is about performance. To do good, you have life. You do bad, you do evil, you have damnation. You know, think about it. Send a new Christian home. He trusts Christ is forgiven, and he trusts in the death, burial, and the resurrection. Then tell him to read John, which is not for our dispensation. He reads John 8. Go to John 8:31. John 8:31 says, Then said Jesus to those Jews. Okay, so now he's going to think he's Jewish. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word. See the condition? All of a sudden this guy sees, if ye continue in my word, and they try, then are ye my disciples indeed. So if they don't, they're not his disciples at all. Let me tell you what, Paul says to follow him as he followed Christ, the things of Christ. Jews are disciples, but the book of Romans, what does it say? There's neither what? Jew nor Greek. Well, two things that are different can't be the same. Right? So the book of John is to Israel. Think about it. A new convert gets confused. He reads John and has direction of being a follower of Christ to be a disciple. Right? So he studies what? The red letters. That's where we always told people to go. He gives all he has to who? To the poor. He gives everything he has to the poor. He cashes everything in that he owns. Next Sunday, he shows up at church, dirt poor, because the preacher's told him what to do. What do you think the preacher's going to say to him? Are you crazy? Because he's going to say what it really means. All of a sudden, now he's got to have interpretation. Like God needs man's help to understand that words, what they say, mean what they say. It's a never-ending cycle in this world. People today are in churches all over the place. They're being told what to do. But then they say, well, what it really means is this. And so all of a sudden they're trusting everything a man says behind the pulpit. And they're not studying the word for what it really says. And that's where we're at. He says, can you see the guy? Well, you told me to continue in his word and to do what Christ instructed. Now, is anybody today really following John as doctrine? If they were, they'd be in synagogues. They wouldn't be in churches. If they were, they'd be dirt poor. And there wouldn't be no tithe being able to be taken up. We'd be needing it. But that's what happens today. We take the term, ask Jesus into your heart. Repent from your sins. Be born again. No wonder they can't rightly divide. They need an interpreter because they can't understand what they've always been taught because they don't read the scriptures for themselves. Let me tell you something. John 20, verse 9. Look at John 20, verse 9. Now, I told you that he said earlier, I believe in chapter 5, that the Son of Man had to be lifted up. You know they didn't understand because look at John 20 verse 9. They didn't understand anything about the crucifixion. A lot of people say that the Word of God always centers around the cross. These guys didn't have a clue about the crucifixion. John 20 verse 9. For as yet they knew not the Scripture that He must rise again from the dead. They were waiting for a kingdom to be set up. They didn't have a clue what He meant about the Son of Man being lifted up. Wasn't the issue to them. They didn't understand what we know. Okay, 3 chapters after the death, burial, and the resurrection, they didn't know that He must rise from the dead. Okay, they didn't know. Today, if you're not saved, you can do everything. You can confess your sins. You can follow the Ten Commandments. You can be baptized. You can ask Jesus in your heart. You can sell everything that you have. You can follow the red letters. Can I tell you something? And you can still be unsaved. You can. Born again language is according to Scripture, is to Israel. Matthew through John is Old Testament. Okay? We read that in Hebrews 9, 15, 16, and 17. Look at it again. And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament. that by means of death, he had to die. For the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. They're going to receive this kingdom. In the times of refreshing, that's what's going to happen. But, for where, verse 16, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is not in force after men are dead. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testament. It's old. I don't care what man's put in. In the dispensation that we are in today, the gospel of the grace of Christ, the revelation of the mystery by which we are established, there is neither Greek nor Jew, bond nor free, circumcised or uncircumcised. We have a different relationship than being His disciples. We're His body. We are the body instead. Think about it. What does a king have? He has people that follow him, don't he? A king has disciples, right? You can walk away from a king. Okay? Go to Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 10. There's a difference. Colossians 2, verse 10. What are we? We are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. We don't walk away from our King. We are in Him. So Paul talked about this morning in Bible study. We are in Him. We are a new creature. There's not something that was old that has to come again. We are new. We are complete. Go to Ephesians 5. Look at verse 30. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of what? Of His body. We're not born again. We are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Do you realize, I always saw this flesh in my flesh and bone in my bones, and I put it towards marriage and the beautiful picture there. Can I tell you something? He's talking about the body of Christ. He's the head. You are the body. We are bone of His bone and we are flesh of His flesh. You are the body. You can't walk away. That's what you are. We are complete in Him. The Holy Spirit who saves you, you don't do it by any performance, by anything you do. Our relationship according to the revelation of the mystery is different than Israel and their king. We know this because we know John is what? Old Testament. Because we know that the red letters were to who? To Israel. Because we know this, we also know the term born again is to who? It's to Israel. It appears two times. Look at the two times it appears. First of all, Old Testament, John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see, what's the issue? The kingdom of God. John 3:7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. They're like, what? And the next place is 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's a prophecy that Peter was sharing. Those things that were going to come. Peter talking to Israel, and Jesus talking to Israel. You aren't around either time. Everybody loves John 3:16. Everybody says, well, what about John 3:16? But the verse needs to be followed through with the other verses. Go to John 3:16. This made a lot of people mad years ago. But the Bible says what it says. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let's go to verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Go to the next verse, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. How come? Look at the rest of the verse. Because he hath not believed, what? In the name of the only begotten Son of God. The issue, if you read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the issue was they were to repent. They were to change their mind. They were to believe that this Jesus who they had crucified in at Pentecost was that this Jesus was the Son of God. What they didn't believe was that he wasn't the Son of God. The issue wasn't about forgiveness. The issue wasn't about the resurrection. The issue was about that Jesus was the Son of God. And so John speaks of that. That's what they were to believe. It was different. We are under a different dispensation. Yes, we're to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But we're also to believe that He died for all our sins. That He was buried. That He was resurrected, conquering death. And that we don't have to wait to be born again, which they will. We become a new creature. When we trust in what He did, we become the body. They will be born again in the millennial kingdom. Some translations also have it all wrong. I believe the NIV and some others, their scriptures read one and only Son. Exodus 4:22 says, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." So the translations that say my one and only Son is wrong. It's the one and only begotten Son. Dealing with the crucifixion. We need not be ignorant of Scripture. In closing, go to Colossians 1:9. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10 in closing. I'm not going to read another verse after this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The Apostle Paul's prayer was to not be ignorant of what the Scripture says. Not you need an interpreter. Not that you need to follow what man says. This morning, all I've done is with what I've said, I've used Scripture. By what the Bible says. Not what I think. Not what, well, what it really means is this. Because when you start trusting in things that the Bible doesn't actually say, you're going to believe that repentance means different. You're going to take the term like born again, or like ask Jesus into your heart, where there's not Scripture for that. Because a man will say it. And what happens? You become ignorant. Now, that ignorance is not a bad word. It just means you don't know. You become ignorant of the Scripture. The problem today in churches all over the United States is Satan deceives congregations because preachers tell you what they think the Bible means when it says something. And they come up with this beautiful language like asking Jesus into your heart. They come up with these, I mean, that sounds beautiful, doesn't it? They come up with these great words and they end up not meaning what they really say.